And what should we imagine would be their vision for what we would be in order for them to feel safe, if not just like them? And so what does that mean? A war on love itself. Misery loves company. A very, we're taught to think, trite cliche, but unfortunately, there's a world of psychological dynamics and historical pain captured in that phrase. We're returning to The 18th Brumaire by Karl Marx and Emanuel Wallerstein's The Modern World System for Centrist Liberalism, what I refer to as Plato's Tribesmen, triumphant, 1789 to 1914, in order to see the origins of the modern, quote-unquote, bureaucratic nation-state in the fixed determination of statesmen, quote-unquote, to repress us, we the people. It's a new invention with no less devastating effects for being so. And so long as it lasts, it, these global statesmen, will forestall our growth, our right to express our infinite expansiveness. Quote from Karl Marx. After the review of October 3rd, the Permanent Commission summoned War Minister Doutpool. He promised that these breaches of discipline, because remember the garlic sausages from last week? You might want to revisit that little, that last excerpt. Karl Marx was arguing that Louis Bonaparte believed that there were certain higher powers that must be honored, that rulers must honor, and one of them was the liberal provision to soldiers of champagne and garlic sausages. So anyway, after the review of October 3rd, the Permanent Commission summoned War Minister Doutpool. He promised that these breaches of discipline should not recur. We know how on October 10, Bonaparte kept Doutpool's word. As commander-in-chief of the Paris army, Jean Garnier had commanded at both reviews. He, at once a member of the Permanent Commission, chief of the National Guard, the savior, quote-unquote, of January 29 and June 13, the bulwark of society, the candidate of the party of order for presidential honors, the suspected monk of two monarchies, had hitherto never acknowledged himself as the subordinate of the war minister, had always openly derided the Republican Constitution, and had pursued Bonaparte with an ambiguous lordly protection. Now he was consumed with zeal for discipline against the war minister and for the Constitution against Bonaparte. While on October 10, a section of the cavalry raised the shout, Vive Napoleon! Vivant les saucissons! Vivant les saucissons! Hooray for Napoleon! Hooray for the sausages! Jean Garnier arranged that at least the infantry marching past under the command of his friend Neumeier should preserve an icy silence. As a punishment, the war minister relieved General Neumeier of his post in Paris at Bonaparte's instigation, on the pretext of appointing him commanding general of the 14th and 15th military divisions. Neumeier refused this exchange of posts and so had to resign. Jean Garnier, for his part, published an order of the day on November 2nd, in which he forbade the troops to indulge in political outcries or demonstrations of any kind while under arms. The Élysée newspapers attacked Jean Garnier. The papers of the party of order attacked Bonaparte. The Permanent Commission held repeated secret sessions in which it was repeatedly proposed to declare the country in danger. The army seemed divided into two hostile camps with two hostile general staffs, one in the Élysée, where Bonaparte resided, the other in the Tuileries, the quarters of Jean Garnier. It seemed that only the meeting of the National Assembly was needed to give the signal for battle. The French public judged this friction between Bonaparte and Jean Garnier like that English journalist who characterized it in the following words, quote, "The political housemaids of France are sweeping away the glowing lava of the revolution with old brooms and wrangle with one another while they do their work," unquote. Now that's astute political analysis, is my comment. Do we have a press of any kind that independent of power today or its utilitarian mindset today? Moreover, we see that no one, we the people, was deceived, not even for a moment. The performance is so sane. I apologize. I am going to have to figure a way to make sure we don't neglect the reading so much. I say that too much, but it is the case. We are at the end of this hour, and I am, as usual, thankful that you listen. And we're trying to get as practical as possible. And I would very much be grateful for feedback around that, whether what I'm missing, you know, suggestions for how to forward these discussions, because it is only through our broadening the realm of the possible in our minds that we can preserve our humanity, preserve the integrity of the human being. It is under attack. It is at risk. There is a massive threat, and it has existed for some time, but we are in the end game, so it is incumbent upon us to take this responsibility on, those of us who are thinking about these things. Thank you again, and until next week. And as always, I love you so much. So much. And as always, stay strong. Until next week, peace.
When you're gone.